God's gracious gift of justification by faith favors no people and excludes no people. There's no place for boasting. Instead, we're all invited to humbly place our faith in Christ alone, because we're all sinners in need of His grace. You've probably thought often about what the gospel brings you. Today, Stephen turns that around. He called this lesson, What the Gospel Destroys. This is The Wisdom Journey, and here's Stephen Davey.
I remember reading of a couple who lived out on the prairie many years ago. Bessie had developed a high fever, and her husband, Sam, recognized the symptoms, knew his wife was in desperate need of medicine if she were to live. The antidote he needed was available several miles away at the trading post. The problem was the trading post was across a river that had begun to freeze over that winter. The only way to get to that trading post was to walk across the ice. Well, Sam had never tried to cross that river this early in the winter, and he was afraid it wouldn't support his weight. But he was desperate. He had to try. So he pushed a piece of wood in front of him in case he fell through, and he stretched his body out, trying to distribute his weight evenly. And slowly he crawled out onto that ice, praying as he inched along. But once he was rather far out on that broad river, the ice began to groan. He scooted forward a little more, and the ice began to creak. Then there was a roar and a terrible crashing sound all around him. Sam braced for that icy water to engulf him, but nothing happened. The crashing sounds grew louder, and Sam looked back over his shoulder and saw a man with a team of horses racing his wagon across the ice. The horses galloped past him, pulled up on the other bank right up to the front porch of that trading post. Well, Sam jumped to his feet, shouting hallelujah, and he ran across the ice up to the trading post, got the medicine he needed, and raced back home to his wife. Sam had no more fear. He was filled with confidence. He wasn't crawling anymore, but running. Why? Well, Sam now had faith that the ice would hold him up. And frankly, it didn't take a lot of faith. You know, you could have a lot of faith in thin ice and fall through. You can have a little faith in thick ice and be very confident as you walk along. Well, let me tell you, beloved, like Sam out there on that frozen river, faith changed the way he thought, and it ought to change the way we think and act. Now, here in Romans chapter 3, Paul delivers the condition of fallen, sinful humanity. Here in verse 23, he writes, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Verse 24, "We are justified by His grace as a gift." Then in verse 25, he says, "We receive this by faith." He's not talking about the amount of your faith, by the way, but the object of your faith. This is the great truth of justification by faith. We're trusting in Christ. We're trusting in His work on the cross. And we can stand to our feet and confidently shout, hallelujah. We can be confident in our salvation. But let me tell you, the gospel doesn't just build up our faith. It also tears some things down. And now here at the close of Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul informs us that justification by faith is actually going to destroy three different things. First, justification by faith will destroy personal pride. Paul summarizes what he's been saying with a question, and then he answers it here in verse 27. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of a law? By a law of works? No, by the law of faith. You see, we don't have anything to brag about, beloved, when it comes to our salvation. Nobody's justified by anything other than faith in Christ alone. Now, Paul makes that clear here in verse 28. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Now, this is the point that Paul has been making in all these preceding verses. We are justified, that is, declared righteous, right, before God. We're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're saved through faith in Christ alone. So you see, salvation isn't achieved through works. It is received through faith in the one who performed all the work that was necessary on our behalf. So as Paul is saying here, our boasting is in Jesus Christ. It can't be any clearer than that. Justification is by faith without works. Yes, those who are justified by faith are going to produce good works. And that's what the book of James emphasizes. You can't see invisible faith, but you can see the fruit of faith, and that's good works. Well, Paul here is defining justification. James wants us to demonstrate justification. I like the way the reformers put it 500 years ago, that we're saved by faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. It's going to show up in the way that we now want to live for Christ. So, first, justification by faith destroys personal pride. Second, justification by faith destroys personal prejudice. Paul writes here now in verse 29 and 30, "Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also?" Yes, of Gentiles also. "Since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith?" Now, this brings us back to the attitude that the nation Israel had. They didn't just think that they automatically belonged to God. They thought God belonged only to them. You might remember this was the prophet Jonah's attitude. It was only after spending 3 days in the belly of a great fish that Jonah repented of his prejudice and said this, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." That's Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. In other words, God can save anybody, and everybody who is saved comes to God the same way. God is not to be withheld from any group or ethnicity or nationality. And let me tell you, a faithful pastor and a biblical church aren't going to target people based on their ethnicity or their income, the color of their skin, their nationality, on which side of the railroad tracks they lived on. In fact, the gospel creates an entirely new race of everyone who believes. Peter calls them a holy nation, a race belonging to God, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is the principle now that Paul is teaching here in Romans chapter 3. Everyone who enters heaven, no matter who they are, they come by the way of the cross. They come through faith in Christ alone. Now, if we could paraphrase verse 30 here, Paul is saying this, there is only one God, and if that one God accepts both Jew and Gentile by faith alone, well, then the ground at the foot of the cross is level. Jews and Gentiles alike are welcome. No group is favored. No people group is excluded. God doesn't play favorites. All who come to Christ are equally precious to God the Father. So the gospel destroys personal pride and personal prejudice. Now Paul effectively informs us that it also destroys personal presumption. He writes here in verse 31, "Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law." Well, Paul is answering the question here, if we're saved apart from keeping the law, are we to presume then that, well, the law is useless? And Paul's answer is no. Justification apart from the law upholds the standard of the law. The law was an expression of God's holiness. God's law was designed to lead people to see that, well, they've broken the law. They can't keep the law perfectly. Only through faith in Christ, the one who kept the law perfectly without sin, the one who paid the penalty for our crimes against God's law, breaking God's law, well, that way God's holy standard, that is through Christ, is met. And again, this leads us to recognize there's no room for presumption or prejudice or pride. We don't stand around and glory in our faith. We glory in the object of our faith. I mean, let's go back to Sam crawling across that frozen river. Now, he could have had great faith in thin ice, and he could have fallen through and drowned, but he had rather weak faith, but it was in thick ice. And once he realized it was thick, well, with great confidence, he traveled safely across. Beloved, what matters for you and me today isn't the strength of our faith. It is the object of our faith. And since the object of our faith is the person of Jesus Christ, you don't have to crawl through life in fear of being lost again, of falling through. You are traveling through life on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Weak faith or strong faith, as long as your faith looks to Christ, you're not going to fall through. You're not going to get lost out there in life. In fact, I think of Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27 that tells us, as a follower of God, that God is our refuge, and underneath us, well, there are the everlasting arms of God. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Stephen is taking you through the entire Bible with a new lesson each weekday. I hope you'll join us each day as we travel through God's Word together. We're convinced that your journey through life can be a journey of wisdom if you conform your thoughts and actions to God's Word. That's why Stephen wants to help you understand all 66 books of the Bible. This journey is going to help you know what the Bible says, understand what it means, and apply it to your life. You can learn more at wisdomonline.org. That's Stephen's website, and it's filled with his 4 decades of Bible teaching. You'll find all of the past episodes of this Wisdom Journey. You can listen to each one or watch the video version if you prefer. You'll also find his full-length sermons available free and on demand. Stephen has a collection of articles, books, and Bible study guides. Find it all at wisdomonline.org. And then join us back here next time to continue traveling on the Wisdom Journey.